Blog Talk Radio. Your presence has been detected and recorded. Thank you.
Good evening, my precious babies. This is Madam Perry, Jennifer Perry, your madam and cruise director here at Madam Perry Salon. I almost didn't do a show this night. You know, I kind of put it up kind of last minute. But this is a special night. I need something to really make me feel good. And, babies, I got it for you tonight. I have one of my favorite comics. Met this person about 4 years ago. And let me tell you something about her. She's a cover girl. She's a 2014 Charlotte Magazine editor best pick comedian in the Best of the Best Awards issue. And I've got a copy if you want to see it. She is a finalist on the Comedy Central's Up Next competition. She's performed on the festival stage at the Oddball Comedy Festival, headlined by Louis C.K. and Aziz Ansari. She was voted in the Top 30 Under 30 Elevate Lifestyle Magazine Award winner. She's creator, host, and producer of the almost famous comedy show in Charlotte. She has been for the last 3.5 years, and that's where I met her. And she's just been seen on the new Fox TV show Laughs. She's almost here. You know, I'm trying to talk. There's a lot to tell you about her, so I'm trying to kill a little time. She should be coming in the door just about any minute. Let's see.
Hello.
Oh, we beamed her up. Blair Nye.
That was a
Blair
rush.
Nye. How is the transporter, Blair?
My hair's a mess.
I'm so sorry, honey. I know your hair is very important to you, too.
It is. I don't think I've had the same style once in the past like 4 years. They just keep changing it like Madonna. It's like,
well,
yeah, just take this one off.
At least you came. I know. That's like everybody knows my friend Kenya when we go out to dinner or something. If she gets there first, I'll say, my friend's here. What is she meeting me? What does she look like? She's about this tall, and don't ask me what kind of hair she has.
That's exactly it. Right,
I just
now,
saw her yesterday, but it might be different.
Right now, I've got a slightly purple tint bob.
Ooh.
Yeah, I was kind of space age. I'm doing a little Blair Jetson.
Okay. I was going to say, is that like a little gratis, a little swag from, what did you open for, Katy Perry or something? Did she leave it behind?
Oh, yeah. Oh, no, it's not quite Katy Perry. It's a little more mild than that. I will tell you one thing. If you do choose to color your hair, pick wisely because it affects the rest of your makeup and wardrobe. I wore a green chink top today, and it looked like the Riddler. I was like, oh no. I was like an evil villain on Batman or the Joker. One of the villains. I'm not sure which one was green and purple, but that's what I look like.
The Green Lantern or something.
Yeah, I'll get you.
Now you get mad, you can kind of go Hulk on somebody.
You know what? I literally just said to my boyfriend, you're lucky I'm not drinking because I would have gone Hulk on you. I think that's the exact sentence I said. You just aggravated me. I am known for a hair-triggered temper. And I'll be very calm and smiling. And then, like, just like that, I'm like, ah, Blair smash.
Whoa. I'll be making a note of that.
Yeah, I try not to drink because I can come back down to a very demure, charming self if I have my stuff together. But when alcohol's involved, I'm just like, everybody get out of my room.
So you kind of got this dichotomous thing going, don't you? Kind of like a northern aggression and a southern charm. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, very much so. I've been in the South for 11 years now. I forgot this. 11 years. It's crazy. I was totally just making a stop in the South on the way out of nowhere. But 11 years down here, so I still got my Yankee sensibility and a little bit of that northern aggression. But I like to think that I have a lot of southern hospitality and charm kind of sleeping in.
Yeah, kind of a mashup, kind of a north-south mashup there. And tell me, how does that affect you, though, in everyday life, in your relationships, anything?
I think that I still forget about southern men wanting to be gentlemen and, you know, let me go first or open the door or pull out chairs. So I kind of come off as uncouth. I just walk through a door and open it myself. My boyfriend will actually definitely, he'll clothesline me. Like, hey, I'm opening this door. What are you doing? You're making me look bad in front of people. I'm learning a little bit more about, you know, because southern ladies, they never get caught looking bad. Even if they're wearing flip-flops, their toes are on fleek. They're amazing. And always a little bit of makeup. The hair's done right. The outfit. I think up north it's so cold, we don't care. We're just like, listen, I've got 6 layers of clothes on. I'm not shaving my legs. So I think that it's a lot of my southern friends have convinced me to be a little bit more. I mean, I was in a sorority in college and all girls high school, and I had my girly days, but I definitely am a tomboy, and the southern lifestyle has brought a little bit more of the girl out of me.
Where did you go to college?
I went to George Washington University, and that was actually really exciting because it was in D.C., and it was a really happening city. I didn't have any interest in politics whatsoever. I was an English major with a creative writing and theater, so really wasted all of the tuition. I was like, how liberal arts can I go? Can I add a woman's study and dance minor to that? Can I make sure I'm totally guaranteed not to get a job outside of college? It just went back to my 10-year reunion and like last fall, and everybody was like, oh, so how's that comedy thing going for you? How's the little comedy thing? And I was like, I'm on TV in 2 hours. It was so great. It just happened to fall on the night that I was on TV, and I was like, yeah, just hurry home after this is over. Go turn on your TVs.
Good. Major and, score.
Yes, absolutely. They announced me, and I'm like, she produces the show, and Charlotte's sort of famous, and I'm like yelling from the back of the room, I'm not famous. And they're like, same old Blair.
It's one of those things where people sort of, it's a whole different world, you know, and they have no idea all the work that goes into it. And, you know, like
where
I've had the jazz band, and I've done some stand-up, I've had a TV show and so forth, and then people, you know, you're always trying to keep it moving with other people, like they just bought this, they just got that, they got a promo. But they don't realize we're working for it every day and every night.
Absolutely.
Everything matters. And,
something going on in the background. There's always something going on in the background.
How's the little singing thing going for you? You know, are you living your dream? Oh, isn't that sweet? Well, maybe I'll come see you one day. Maybe I'll come let you play at one of my parties for free. You'll get a lot of exposure.
Oh my gosh.
Exposure.
Don't mess with me and money. No, I don't think so.
Yeah.
I only do free for charity, and even then I'd be like, can you get me at least a plate of some food or something?
You know, I know it was like somebody once, you know, I used to get things, would you come play for free? It's a political thing, you know, whatever. And you get exposure. Now, that is something you can either, get arrested for or die from, right?
That's awesome. I might have to just take that job. I'll give you total credit. But I love that because, I mean, I actually encourage young comics to look for opportunities for exposure. I mean, I don't want you to travel 4 hours on your dime and you do 5 minutes when no one's going to show up at an open mic in some town no one's heard of. But if there's an opportunity to, a lot of my opportunities in comedy have come from letting myself do a show for little to no money in front of other comedians, whether they were on my level or they were more advanced than me, because then And you think that's just the word of mouth, like, oh, Blair's a good comedian, and like all your contemporaries and your peers think you're great. That's not a big deal. It is, because then someone will come up to me and say, you know what, I don't have enough material to handle a gig like this, but my friend's looking for someone. I just want to host it. Can you feature? Can you headline? I've done a couple of Christmas parties like that. And there are other comedians. So, or like, oh, I'm starting a new show. I would love to have you on it because I feel like you're solid. When you have the respect of people that know how hard the craft is, all of a sudden you mm-hmm. start showing up. So, but that's funny. Exposure, you get arrested for it. I mean, sometimes that's all we're looking for. I mean, I will definitely take a gig where I'm like, I'm only making $20. Hopefully I can sell some merchandise, but I get to open up for her. You know, like Louis C.K. and Aziz Ansari that was great.
Aziz Ansari, yeah, Louis C.K., yeah, because there you got some cred with you, because, you know, that's a major cred.
It's also really cool to meet these industry folks and see how their different journeys and experiences have shaped them into different kinds of people. That festival was jam-packed with celebrities. So it was Marc Maron, Hannibal Buress, Chris Hardwick. There's two of the great, I can't remember the guy that was the host of ours. There's two or three other comics too. And they came just to Charlotte. There's different lineups in different cities. And people like Aziz and Hannibal were kind of standoffish and awkward, but I've met both of them earlier on in their careers, and they were more outgoing and talkative. And so I'm like, huh, you've been hardened a little bit. I get it.
Yeah.
I do get it, because people walk up to me. Fans aren't nearly as bad as other comics. You don't know how other comics are going to come at you when they think that you have more experience or talent or opportunities. There's a lot of haterade being spread around.
Haterade is a bad thing. Well, you know what? I'll tell you what. We have somebody just called in, and I'm glad you called back. Hi, this is Madam Perry with Blair Nias on Madam Perry Salon. Welcome.
Hello. Hi, this is Carrie Dunn.
Carrie Dunn? Are you calling from Baton Rouge, Carrie Dunn?
Actually, no, I'm calling from my car.
Okay, whatever.
Driving home from work, but I was tired of missing your show.
Oh, we're delighted to hear from you.
I'm a big fan of Blair's comedy. I think she's hilarious, so I just wanted to call in and...
I know who this is. Hey.
You do?
I do. Hi, how are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
I'm good. Actually, I'm working through a sinus infection, but I'm still here.
Okay, well, gotta play hurt.
Right. So much go on.
You know that Carrie was a client of mine. Did you two meet through me on Facebook or what?
Awesome. Yes, we're friends on Facebook.
Yeah.
Yeah, I recognize literally, I have like over 3,000 friends on Facebook, but I recognize every name. I know this sounds crazy, but I will add you on Facebook, maybe not even meet you in real life, and then you'll meet me, and I'm like, I know who you are. And they're like, how do you know that? Because I live on Facebook. I'm not a real person. I'm an avatar. They just let me out of the Matrix occasionally.
Right. Okay, when are you? I don't ever ask this question because everybody says never. But when are you gonna come to Louisiana?
When am I gonna come to Louisiana?
Yeah, do a show down here.
You have no idea. I would love to come. I need to start doing some research. If I made a list of all the places that fans have actually asked me to come, I would have a great vacation planned out for the rest of the year. But the thing is, I like to drink and get wild and eat lots of bad food, so I'm really coming to Louisiana, I promise.
This is your place.
Yeah. I actually missed a bachelorette party like a year ago. I was going to come down and just do a couple of shows, and I was on standby, and I waited at the airport, but I guess you guys had some sort of big LSU game or something, and I could not get on the plane, and they were just sending me pictures of Snapchat and drinking hurricanes and wandering drunk down all the streets, and I'm like, I'm missing the fun. But no, definitely.
A serious question, because I'm a huge fan of stand-up comedy and the people that are stand-up comedians.
Mm-hmm.
Is it like you see so much with, say, Richard Pryor, Robin Williams, or, you know, and many others, of course, where they kind of take pain and make it funny in a way that speaks to everybody. I mean, is that
yes.
something that, that you do?
Yes, yes, definitely. And they do say, you know, time heals all, or, you know, usually comedy is time plus pain. So the more time that has passed, the easier it is for me to access something, the more distance I have from it. Some of the first jokes I started making when I started 4 years ago were about a really bad breakup I'd had about a year and a half before that. And it was helping me get through that, just making fun of him and making fun of how stupid relationships are. I've done something a little bit more personal recently, actually on a friend's blog of mine. You can find, I'm actually going to share it later. Maybe I'll do this evening if I'm productive. On my website, I have a blog on my website. I'm going to share the link to her website and post the blog. She asked for us to write something in a humorous light that was really painful. And then for an example for her was her mother died on Mother's Day. And I'm laughing as I'm saying that because the article's like, thanks, Mom. And my article was entitled Why I'm a Slut. It just talks about a lot of difficult things I went through with, like, low self-esteem and poor image and, like, just kind of a lot of rough times I went through and made me kind of not really value myself as a woman. And just kind of threw my sexuality out there to everybody so someone would like me. I mean, I did it in a funny way, but it was hard for me to access that because I didn't really realize, I kind of had a Dr. Phil moment. I didn't really realize why I was acting the way I was, you know. I'm settled down now. I've got a good guy and everything. But there was a lot of time that I just want a lot of girls to know how valuable what they are. And I was like, people can hear this, what I have to say in this article I'm writing, and think, you know what? If Blair could do it, I can do it too. I don't have to just ride along on my personality or just being slutty with everybody. I can just value who I am. Then that will make it great. So with people like Robin Williams and with Richard Pryor, I feel like the reason they shared was 50% selfish to help them get through something painful, but also 50% hoping it would help someone else. Like, wow, Richard Pryor set himself on fire for invading crack cocaine. I can probably quit smoking cigarettes. You know, like, so I really think that there's a lot of an anger in comedy. It's just basic. I think that was Stephen King quote is that comedy was just anger with a smile. A lot of times we're really upset about something and we're just finding a way to make it more accessible to talk about.
But I
try my best to do
that. As I get older, and I don't want to say people have forgotten Richard Pryor, but, you know, the younger generation, sometimes, you know, that stuff gets lost. George Carlin, Richard Pryor. And so,
oh, God,
like,
I know. But you'll be surprised how many young people know comics because of YouTube now. And
right.
They'll come to me and say, have you heard of Andy Kaufman? I'm like, have I heard of him? Have you heard of him? You're not even born. Yeah, it's really crazy.
Yeah, YouTube's a great resource, and I like that because I don't like people, you know, I like for people to have a wider knowledge horizon, especially with so many great comics in the back. Carrie, you know my friend Kenya.
Uh-huh.
We were talking earlier this afternoon about somebody, and I brought up something that Richard Pryor said. We were talking about a friend not being careful with sexual situations, and I said, well, you remember what Richard Pryor said, those VCs got a VD penicillin can't kick, you know? And that was, you know, remember things like
yeah. I mean, more and more as I've been performing, I've been more and more comfortable exposing embarrassing and painful things. You know, once you get the odds, you can't really do that in a 5-minute set when you're first starting as a guest spot or a host. When you're doing a 30-minute set and you've developed a relationship with the crowd and they're comfortable with you, you said some crazy stuff already, you can kind of slide into, oh, yeah, by the way, my dad died. And they're like, oh, God, it's pretty awkward. And they're like, no, he'd like this joke. So,
well, I think too, if you make an audience, I mean, kind of uncomfortable, laughter is probably the easiest emotion to access when you're feeling comfortable. I mean, I know when I'm nervous, I start cracking up for no apparent reason. So,
Yeah, I mean, it can go both ways, though. I have a problem with, so a lot of the anger I have with racism or racially insensitive people or prejudices or stereotypes that are, like, harmful, I talk about that on stage a lot. You've probably heard my McDonald's bit where the commercials are totally geared towards African-Americans and it just pisses me off. But if I go someplace, like, if I say that in South Carolina or Georgia, they're like, yep, that's real, and we get it. That's not how all black people are, and we get what you're saying, and it's funny. And if I say that up north, but I'll go to some really liberal, random spots, like Chapel Hill in North Carolina, and they'll be like, they can't get past their white guilt to laugh at me. They just sit there and clutch their chest and say, oh my God, bless your heart.
Clutch the pearls, clutch your chest.
So hard.
Well, tell us here's about the...
There's a black person up here trying to make me laugh. What do I do?
I don't know. Let me look at the people to my left or right. Let me bring my black friend and ask them. Blair.
Yeah, I usually do that. I point out a black friend.
Oh, she's not here. Let me text her. She's one of the ladies here. Let me text her and ask her if I can laugh. So, Blair, tell us about the McDonald's.
Oh, well, you know, what's so funny is shortly after I was doing this joke, the commercial I was talking about disappeared off the radio. I don't know. I feel like some of their commercials, you know, they turned them over. But I think that I'd like to think they heard my joke. I like to think they heard my joke.
I think they did.
I was having a really rough day. A friend of mine has a congenital neurological disorder, and she actually just fallen into a coma. And she's fine now, but you know, I was super upset. And this is why I love comedy, because it just, when you're looking to be a writer all the time, you're inspired by stuff and you never even know where it's going to come from. And I just pulled over. I remember exactly where I was. It was like the Einstein Bagels. I just sat in the parking lot. I was trying to breathe and gather myself. And like, it's okay. Don't overreact. And then the McDonald's commercial came on the radio. And it was just, I know what they were trying to do, but it just came off so blatantly racially insensitive that I was like, that was just racist. It was just racist. I say racially insensitive because I don't like people overuse racist. They say racist too often, and someone doesn't actually think that their race is better or they want to display someone in a derogatory light. But this was an old lady, and her grandson says, "Hey, grandma," and he's like, "Hey, baby, chow." The grandson's like, "Hey, what are you doing there?" And he's like, "Can we get some sweet tea?" And he goes, "Oh, chat, don't you know there's a McDonald's across the street? Your legs ain't broken. Don't you go get yourself to sleep." And I was like, what is happening? Because, I mean, they wanted you to see that this old Southern black woman sounded like that. Because even the grandson sounded like a normal kid. Like, you couldn't tell where his accent or his race or anything was from. He was just like, "Hi, Grandma, I love spending time with you." Just a normal kid. But the grandmother was like, "Don't you, your legs ain't broke, is they? Go get you some."
I was like, "My grandmother talked to me.
Did she just say, your legs ain't broke, is they? Oh, my God." And then this lady sounds like she was cast as the voice of Mrs. Butterworth as well. I'm and so I started doing some more impressions with that on stage. And I grabbed the mic stand, and I go, "Don't you worry about that North Star. You just head on over to them Golden Arches." saying she sounds like a runaway slave. And I really have fun getting that joke. Can go either way, though. People aren't with me. They're like, "She is awful." But if they get that I'm, you know, making fun of it, it's satirical, though. But, yeah, there's just literally watch McDonald's commercials. There's more and more white people slipping in there, but there's always going to be a friendly minority.
Well, there was a print ad. I remember it from the 70s. I was just like second or third grade, and I was reading a magazine, and it was this McDonald's ad and this black family sitting at a table in McDonald's, and the caption was, "We getting ready to do some fast eating."
Yeah.
F-A-S-E-A-T-I-N, fast eating.
And
I was like, really?
It's funny how it changes. It's the least racist format of McDonald's, I think, would be the commercials on TV.
Yeah.
The ads in the magazine are pretty bad, and the radio ads are the worst. But it's like Bojangles are the same thing. They go on TV and they're like, are you guys ready? Yes. Bell time, and then on the radio it's like, come on, in the Bojangle, get some of that in the chicken. I'm like, wait, what is happening? Who is that? Is that Mr. Bojangle himself? What is happening?
Oh my god!
Yes, yourself. Hemp is the chicken for $8.99. I'm like, I hear you yelling. Are you tap dancing while you're saying this? Why are you yelling at me?
Actually, Rob, the liquor store stopped by McDonald's for some food.
And then, you got Popeyes, too. Where you are. They want
standard.
To all date that Popeyes woman. Everybody's in love with the Popeyes woman. They're like, she's sexy. She knows how to cook. I'm like, oh, my God. You know she's an actress, right? She's not real. She's got a nice body, and she's going to bring me some chicken and shrimp. Yes. And I'm like, she's not real.
Great ad. I think they're a great ad for an energy drink back in the 90s, but they had these three kind of, you know, they had them dressed like thugs, these really big black guys and all, and they were talking to them, like, you better drink this and all this, and then they say cut, and they go, well, now, wait a minute, hold on, what was my motivation there? I wasn't sure of what I was supposed to do.
That's awesome. Yeah, no, and you know, one great show that I love that addresses almost everything I want to say on stage is Key and Peele. It's on Comedy Central. I think that they can get away with a little bit more because they are both biracial and they're mixed, and they're not as, it's not as offensive as like just this ooh big scary black man in your living room. It's like, oh, we're just playing around. they can represent both ranges, but I will tell you, I full on will not eat fried chicken in public with my boyfriend. So I just tell that right now. We went to Bojangles the other day, and I was like, he's like, we can go in the restaurant. I was like, no, we can't. We are taking this home. If I go in Bojangles and I eat in that restaurant, I'm getting a salad.
I don't even want to tell you.
I've got to go, but I wanted to call in and say I'm a big fan and I appreciate
it. Oh, thank you so much. Keep following me online and Twitter and Facebook and everything. I appreciate it so much.
Hey, and Carrie, you know what we can do? We can, because you know, as I said, you know.
And a Coke and some dry white toast, please.
Okay. I was somebody put in an order. I've got to drive by a window here, Carrie. I'm trying to pick up some extra money. So sometimes, you know, Carrie, you know my dream ever since I've worked for you is to have a big tour bus and take my favorite people on tour. So we're going to have to start some kind of a Kickstarter. We want to get a tour bus, but we'll also accept cash and credit cards for gas stations and covered dishes. And I'll get all my people. We'll just go across country.
Modern day electric Kool-Aid acid test. I'm into it.
Exactamente, mi amigo. And you guys will both be on it.
Well,
bye.
Thanks, Carrie.
Take care. Thank you, Blair and Jennifer. Y'all have a good night.
Bye.
Oh, that was neato.
Carrie's, I think I introduced each other. Because he was my client a few years back in his book, Joe Peace. Hilarious. You've got to get that book. He's a riot. It's about it. Have you read Joe Peace yet?
Joe Peace?
Mm-hmm, that's Carrie's book.
No, I haven't.
Well, Joe Peace,
I'm an avid reader.
Okay, well, we'll get you a copy. We'll get you an autographed copy from Joe, from Carrie. But the name has changed because the people hustling it for a movie now are once chasing to the wolf you feed. However, Joe Peace is a homicide cop in Austin, Texas, but he's kind of he's not a very good homicide cop. He's because he's got a problem. He's got a dope problem, but he gets off that. He's got a crack problem then, and he gets busted down to the file room, then he gets kicked out, and the only people that will take him in are the drug people that he used to chase.
Oh,
those only people that give him a job, but he ends up being extremely good at that and taking over. So,
oh, wow. That's a nice little turn of events there. That's awesome.
They call it a neo-noir thriller. So, yeah, we'll get an autograph.
Neo-noir. Oh, yeah, we're all about noir, yes.
All about it. So we were talking, Key and Peele. I'm so glad you like that. I like that. You know what I think works with them so well is that they put so many layers in their bits. Because everybody knows the piece about the substitute teacher.
Oh, yes, yes. Yes, that's hilarious.
And
that's the
name of
a film about that, I heard.
Yeah, making a film. And the thing I think is so funny about that when I show people is, okay, first of all, okay, you've got the obvious premise in front, which is, you know, the substitute teacher, which when I grew up, that was the you know, that was all the bad kids. That was
yes.
What
start
they
acting up.
Now,
they automatically
have name. What is your, write your name down, young man. So there was always your gymnasium. yeah, lukewarm water, somebody like that. Well, they weren't that clever in my day. But, yeah, so everybody had a fake name and something going on. And then, so there's that, okay? Then it's like a reverse of, you know, all the shows that have the, and I think Mad TV made a joke on this about the white teacher goes to the bad area.
Going to the ghetto, yes.
Yeah. And I think Mad did the thing about it where she goes, what makes you think you can teach me this? Well, because I'm a white lady. Okay, so then there's that.
Dangerous minds kind of like thing, yeah.
But there's also the other level of that, and I had, when I first saw that substitute teacher, Key and Peele, I had heard about this, I was listening to NPR, some report about how kids nowadays, or young people, they spend so much time staring at screens, whether they're texting or playing games or, you know, on the internet, that they do that. They look at people, so therefore, Blair, they don't recognize facial signals like other people do.
Oh,
like
wow,
a look that
really?
You might give that something is wrong, you know,
wow.
You don't like something. It never gets through to them that you don't like what they said, that you disapprove of what they did. They don't recognize facial cues the way that we do.
Wow, that's crazy.
And I thought, I see that in that script because with all those kids, I thought that's what's they're sitting there, and every time he says, you know, something like Aaron, well, okay, back in, you know, when you and I were in school, we're used to reading facial signals. We would catch on pretty damn quick. If he called, you know, me Jennifer, I go, yeah, that's me, okay?
I get this all the time because my name's Blair Elizabeth, and people refuse, from police officers to doctor's appointments, refuse to think that my first name is Blair. They're like, they must have just put this license backwards or something.
No.
So I'll be sitting in the, I was just sitting in the doctor's office on Monday when I was going to get my antibiotics for my little sinus infection here. And they were like, Elizabeth. And I looked around and I realized that there was only one other person in the waiting room. It was a dude. And I was like, oh, that's me. I was like, Blair, and he's like, Nias. I was like, is that Nias? Really? You got my last name? You couldn't get Blair? That one's hard. Blair's actually way more common than that. I know the spelling messes everybody up too. But yeah, no, that's crazy that they're not picking up. I believe it. I believe so many things that cell phones and iPads and laptops are ruining society. I will not put mine down. You have to pry it from my cold, dead fingers. But I do think, because even my mom is a nurse practitioner, and I was talking with my doctor about this too, because I was having some cervical neck pain, and she's convinced it's because I spend so much time looking down at my screen, whatever screen it is. But he said there's also texter's thumb, and there's people getting having trouble focusing their eyes, and they look up from the screen to something else that's further away. They're having, like, kind of astigmatism issues. It's causing a whole bunch of issues. I am so good at reading facial cues, and people, it's part of my job being on stage, but it's also just a weird knack that I feel like I can totally be into what someone's vibe is, which has made it really good for, like, sales and stuff like that. I'm like, oh, this guy does not like me. I'm going to change my approach. But I can't imagine not having that skill. You're just a zombie.
Or anytime you've worked in the public, retail, you know, any kind of service job, you know, you learn to read people. You can just read their aura or their mannerisms, facial things.
Yeah.
And I think that, to me, was one of the big jokes in there, was that they couldn't do that. These kids just couldn't catch
on.
That's my
job in an alternate universe. I want to name colors for, like, paint and, like, nail polishes.
Yeah, and lipstick. What color is this layer? It's coming, give me copper. Okay.
Yes, exactly, exactly. And then I want to be hired by the prosecution or something, some legal team, to sit there and stare at the jury and be like, oh, jurors 3 and 5 are not liking that testimony. That's like my dream career. I know I'm in comedy, but like, that's not your dream career. Yeah, I watch a lot of Law & Order SVU, so.
Hey, you know what? Kerry Dunn works at a law firm. He's their IT genius or does all their visual things. So, Kerry Dunn, yeah, I know you're checking back on this show. This is the perfect job for Blair, Nia.
Yeah,
so,
I will take a small stipend of like $1,000 per day, and I will
just
sit there.
Just a grand is all she's asking.
I'm starting small, you know, because I didn't go to read the jury school, but I think that I would be really good. I could also run movies for people or mystery shows. Like, if me and my grandmother and I went to go see The Sixth Sense, and I didn't get it as quick as she did, but she goes, I know who did it. And then, like, 10 minutes later, I was like, it's Bruce Willis. And everyone in the movie theater was like, God damn it! And
hey,
she's like, how did you know? And I'm like, he's been wearing the same outfit for 3 days. He's
really
a ghost.
These are things that women catch on to.
That is a woman thing. It is. I'm attention to detail, especially with clothes. My mom, my boyfriend, my mom, neither one of them wants to watch any mystery show with me because I'm like, he did it.
Maybe you're
so there's a job out there for me to do that where I can ruin movies and murder mystery shows with people. It'd be great.
I think so. Hey, Blair, we have another caller for you. Hey, this is Madam Perry and Blair Nias. Welcome to Madam Perry's Salon.
Hi, how's it going?
Hi,
how are you?
I'm good.
Who is this, please?
This is Lauren Oliver.
Lauren Oliver, the author?
Yes, it is.
Hello,
fantastic.
Lauren. How are you today?
I'm good.
Where are you calling from, Lauren?
Actually, it's really North Saskatchewan.
Wow.
Baby.
No way.
You come a long way from Saskatchewan.
Madam Perry, you are international.
Baby, I am international. I'm bad. I'm international.
Oh, that's wonderful.
How do you think I afford this swinging pad you're in here, the little, the whole Dream of Jeannie bottle kind of effect I've got here in the studio? That's why he didn't want to give his name at first, you know, because I promised him anonymity. So
what's going on, Lauren?
Oh, nothing. I just taking a small break from work in the kitchen and heard you guys talking about.
What are you doing in the kitchen? Are you cooking or are you, like, building something?
That's your turn, Lauren, not mine. Oh, he dropped. I hope it's something I said.
Lauren, oh, my gosh. I'm gonna put myself on mute and cough in the lung, but you go ahead.
I will. Lauren, I'm so sorry if I hurt your feelings, but I just want everyone to know that Lauren Oliver is a chef as well as a mystery. Oh, he's back.
Oh, he is? Oh, my God, I'm so excited. You just said chef. I just got so excited. I'll leave my boyfriend for you.
I know. Did you hear that, Lauren? She's ready to leave her boyfriend for you.
I think my wife might have troubles with that, though. But...
you're not a multitasker. Okay.
Yeah.
Hey, so Lauren is a cook. He's also an author. I read one of his books, The Cistern, and now spelled C-I-S-T-E-R-N, The Cistern. And let me tell you, after reading that, I am scared to read another book of his, and not much scares me to read.
Oh, wow. Really? Was it scary?
Yeah, it was pretty freaky. And also, I'm afraid to look in the oven. I haven't baked anything since then, so...
Oh, my God. Okay, so all of the guests that have been on your show, you need to make sure that you shout them out on Facebook after so I can go online and stalk them, because that's my favorite thing to do.
I will. Oh, you definitely.
Lauren, do you watch cooking shows at all? Like any of the TV reality shows? Or is that...
Every time I can.
Every time? Okay, so have you seen Man vs. Child? It's like it's an adult chef playing like these child like geniuses or phenoms or whatever you would call them. Like, so there's a 7-year-old little Asian girl, and she's adorable, and she's just, oh my god, she's like a holiday sauce. I was like, what? You're 7. She couldn't even reach stuff. It's a competition, so obviously they're spinning that spin on it. They let all 4 kids compete against one adult in like different courses, but you can tell they have a lot of daytime free.
What are you cooking tonight,
like,
Lauren? Oh, I'm sorry.
Tonight we have, what did we cook tonight? it was pork with chutney and Caribbean chicken.
Wow, pork and chicken. It's double meats.
Yeah. I'm up at a mining camp where we feed 500 people a day, so.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
That's really cool. That is super cool. Oh, my goodness. Yeah, I like to think that I'm a good chef, but, you know, if they ever had to say, like, how can you make an amazing meal for $5, I would be like, I would win that show. I would win that show.
Well, we're going to have a live cooking segment then sometime, Blair.
Yes,
and,
absolutely.
Have Blair be a contestant. Maybe, Lauren, you'll be a judge. But before you get away, though, I want to make sure I say that Lauren Oliver is an author. He writes some pretty chilling mysteries, and he is going to be my guest here on Madame Perry's Salon on August 20th.
Yep.
7 p.m. EDT, GMT minus 4. So,
that's awesome.
So, Blair, hopefully you can tune back in and listen to him.
I will definitely. You have some very interesting callers and guests. I will definitely be tuning back in.
But Madame Perry knows some pretty cool people, as you both well know.
You do. So, from Louisiana to Saskatchewan.
And I'm pretty proud of you. I'm quite proud of that. Thank you.
That was very impressive.
All right, so Lauren, you're not gonna back out on the 20th, are you?
No, I won't back out.
Good. I'm very excited about that.
And then you just tell your wife, if she ever gets tired of you, be like, it's okay. I got a crazy black girl in Charlotte. She's ready to go.
All right, I will.
I've got a suitcase packed. You just get to stepping.
if you got to get to stepping, speaking of stepping, if you got to get back in the kitchen?
Yeah, I got to get back. So you ladies have a good night.
Oh, wait,
bye.
Wait, wait. Speaking of stuffing, okay, I had to do my little sound effects there. Okay, get back in the kitchen, and don't forget about us, Lauren. We love you. Thanks for calling.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Bye. Oh, it's so good. I could just hear a little bit of an accent. I wasn't exactly sure what it was. I could hear a little bit of it.
I know, and then it's like you get a little light bulb. So.
That's funny. And that actually happened a lot when I grew up in Massachusetts, and there was a North Central. I mean, we have a lot of French Canadians that had just a little bit of the accent, or it was more how they arranged the words. Like my friends or grandparents or parents would say, throw me down the stairs in my coat. And I was like, wait, what? Oh, throw your coat down the – gosh darn it. All right, never mind. I like, you got a skate sharpener? I can borrow there. I guess I grew up with a whole other, a really a very weird childhood. I was like the only black girl ice skating and skiing. You can see this little black dot coming down the mountain.
Oh, Blair. Really?
My favorite part was when I went. I was the only black girl in all. There's 2 or 3 in my grade school, but there was the only black girl in high school for the majority of the time. And then we had like 1 or 2 that popped in when I was like a senior. But my mom came to the school when I was like a junior, and I really was the only one. And she was like, have you seen my daughter? And someone was like, oh, okay, what's her name? And she was like, are you serious? She's the only one here that looks like me.
I don't know, but you know what I was talking about? When I moved from Atlanta to Asheville, that's which is where I was living when I met you, it was weird for me because being a native Atlantan, I wasn't used to so many white people at one time. I felt a little uncomfortable.
That's funny. Oh, my God. No, I know.
I don't know. I was used to more diversity, so it felt kind of bizarre. And then I told a girlfriend of mine, Jane, and Jane said, oh, she goes, I know. And Jane's one of these, you know, you can tell she's got that Nordic background. She's tall, blue-eyed, and blonde.
Yes.
And she said, I was living in Baltimore as a little kid.
Oh.
And then for some reason, my parents moved to the Midwest, where their all their relatives lived, in the Midwest.
Oh,
and she said,
wow.
I remember being about 7 years old. Now, listen to this. You're not going to expect this. She said, here I am. I've grown up in Baltimore up to 7 years. I'm 7 years old. They take me to Wisconsin, Minnesota. I'm in school the first day. And she said, I'm terrified because everyone looks like me. And she said, all I can think is, oh, my God, how's my mother going to know which one is me when she comes to get me?
Oh, that's I'm going to tell my mom that. It's really up the phone. And she's going to just die. That is the cutest.
She said, there I was, 7 years old, and terrified. Of like, she said, I felt like I was in some kind of, you know, if I thought about it at that age, it'd be like a science fiction movie. It's like, crap.
Yeah,
I mean,
like Children of the Corn or something. That's funny. Yeah, I get uncomfortable when there's, it's not that frequent that I run into a black woman that in my age range that talks exactly like me. It's not common. It happened occasionally. Where I'm like, hey, you've got that random Valley Girl accent for no reason, too. Okay. You grew up in a gated community. Me, too. And so it's fun for a minute. But if I ran into a, like, phony, that would actually freak me out. I would be like, I'm not anymore. Yeah. That's I wasn't even excited. I went to school in D.C. So D.C. and Baltimore, T.G. County, that area is very, very chocolate.
I mentioned it to my husband one night, and he said, you know, I feel the same way. It's really weird. You just kind of like, this is not my comfort zone being in with all.
Yeah, no, but, I mean, I definitely prefer, like, my mom grew up in the golden age of New York, where it was, like, the first and the second and third generation immigrants. Like, she knew a girl named Greta from Germany. Like, her parents were, like, speaking German to her, but she didn't have the accent. She knew a Korean girl. She knew a Haitian girl. Our family is actually from Trinidad and Antigua, so we have, like, the West Indian background. She knew, like just a Puerto Rican kid, or, like, a Dominican kid. Like, she knew literally a model UN on her block. And everybody made fun of everybody because they were like, oh, Greta, your parents cooking sauerkraut again? And it wasn't racist or anything because they got it as good as they could. They were like, oh, okay, well, I guess you Caribbeans are going to be over there, like, cooking oxtails and goat, and we're like, yeah, we are. It's delicious. and so everybody got it, but then as stuff started becoming more gentrified and more, like, separated, my mom still makes these jokes, and I'm like, you can't say that. I have to walk around. You think she's not racist. She's just racist. Like, she doesn't know. I'm sorry. Because if somebody said something back to her, she'd be like, that's right. Give it as get it as you get it. But, like, she doesn't get it. Anyone over 60, it's a little dangerous.
I know. It's a danger zone entirely. You're kind of on pins and needles, you know, when they're out in public. Oh, I've got two other people have joined us here. And, Well, one is my friend and musician Donnie Piku. Hi, Donnie.
Hey, good evening.
Hey, good evening.
Hey, Donnie's got a nice, deep voice.
Donnie's a singer. He's a musician. He's got a delicious voice. And also, somebody who sneaked in here is and many people know this woman, Carrie Dunn knows her. She's my BFF, Kenya Colbert. Kenya.
Hi, guys.
Hey, Kenya. Hey. How are you?
Hey.
I am wonderful. Blair, you said what I was thinking when he started talking. I was like, oh, my goodness.
What's up, Donnie?
Really?
Hey, I just called to see you.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness.
Oh, Donnie. Look at this a little later at night and charge money. Madam Perry, after
stalking all of you guys, as soon as I get off the phone, I will be adding everybody. Whether you want to or not, we are all Facebook friends now, and it's happening.
All right.
Yay!
Yay.
Yeah, so what we'll do is we'll have a late night show, and then when Donnie comes in and goes, oh, I'll save a horse and ride that cowboy. Okay, so anyway. Kenya wrote that line. That was Kenya. See, this will be the one time that my husband's listening to the show to hear something like that. So, but actually, Donnie is. I've got one of his CDs. It's called what is it? Love, Sex, Food. What is it?
Food.
Liquor. What is the name of it?
Love, Food, Sex, and Peace.
Yeah, that's it.
Okay. Damn. So, that sounds awesome.
Yeah, I know. Donnie is a, he's a great musician, great writer, delicious voice, and he's going to be a guest on here on Madame Perry's Salon. We haven't booked him a date yet, but he's, unless you picked one out of September already, Donnie. But, yeah, Donnie's going to be a guest on here soon, so I want you to all come back. And Donnie, I think you've made that pretty much a done deal just by saying hello.
Yes.
I'm
looking forward to
being there. I'm going to put you on speaker. Can you, Donnie, can you say one thing real quick? Can you say hello, Brenda?
Hello, Brenda.
Where are you
gonna
from,
I love
Donnie?
It. Like, she's going to be a fan for life.
Donnie, where are you from?
What's that?
Where are you from?
I'm from Louisiana, originally a little town in the middle of Cajun country, a place called Eunice, which is it's near Lafayette, Louisiana.
Oh, right. Lafayette.
All right.
Yeah.
We're going to put him on that tour bus with us, aren't we?
Is Kenya an author, musician, too? Is everybody an artist on this show?
No.
Oh, I can't sing a bit.
Yeah, well, but you can't. We got a story about that. We got a story about that. We'll tell you later, Blair, about me and Kenya on one of our road trips. Actually, I'll get it in right now. The first time that I ever sang at the Monster Truck Jam, I sang the national anthem. Oh, hold your applause. Hold your applause.
Good
sang,
for you.
Thank you, dear. I sang the national anthem at the Monster Truck Jam in Birmingham. It was supposed to be on a Saturday afternoon, Saturday night, and Sunday afternoon. And Kenya rode with me. And, of course, they see me, who are you. I'm trying to tell them the singer. But they see Kenya, who doesn't look like me. And all they did was walk up, oh, my God, you're the anthem singer? Oh, my God. Oh, my God, you're the singer. And Kenya's going, we don't all sing, okay?
They're like, look at her. I know she's going to do some runs. She's going to belt out some high seas.
Just like,
I know it.
How cute. She brought a white girl along to carry her stuff. You know, so
I'm like, no. Oh, my God. That's so funny. You must have me swear. That's so funny. She brought her white valet with her. Isn't that wonderful?
Exactly. Yes, I was driving Miss Kenya. So, and then, I finally tried to get it through them. I'm the singer. They take us to this little room where all the guys that work in the crew are hanging out, and we walk in. And everybody just stares at us, you know, because Kenya's the only person with a tan in the room, I guess.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe it's just because we were both so blindingly gorgeous after a 3-hour ride from Atlanta. I don't know. But,
I believe that one.
Yeah, probably Kenya. So then they're staring. I walk out. Now, Kenya and I have another friend who has a tan, and we know what she would have done. She would have just turned around and said, this is some plantation bullshit, and walked out. But not Kenya. It's like when the three of us are out somewhere, you've got the two extremes and the one in the middle. It's like we never know which way it's going to go. It's like whichever person gets, you know, if somebody walks up a stranger, I'll keep on walking. The other gal goes way ahead, and then Kenya's back there talking to him. Oh, how are you doing? Oh, it's your birthday. Oh, that's so lovely. You know,
oh,
going,
my God.
Go,
that's me.
Go,
oh,
go.
That's me.
So,
I'm you, Blair.
So
that's
anyway.
Totally me. Like, why is she talking to someone again?
Then they called me out to give me the rundown.
Exactly.
Like, what's going to happen at this time? This will happen, then we'll bring you out here. This guy will hand you the mic, whatever. So they're giving me all that. Kenya's left her in a room with about 40 guys that were just still kind of stunned when we walked in. So I go back, walk in. Well, of course, things are a little different. Kenya's sitting down in the middle of the room, and there are all these guys competing for her attention. Hey, Kenya, look at my picture when I did the motorcycle. Hey, Kenya, these are like the motocross guys and the crew guys and stuff. Hey, Kenya.
And they were so adorable. Seriously, aww. They were so cute. They were just so sweet.
They fell in love. Is Kenya coming? Are you, there was time for you to go sing. Oh, is Kenya have to go? Well, yes, I've asked Kenya to make a video of me singing the national anthem at the Monster Truck Jam. Oh.
Yeah.
Okay. So then I get the camera. I said, did you video it? Yeah. So then I check the video. All you do, you see the camera on me. And now, Jennifer Perry. And then people, and then all of a sudden, there's a camera on me, and then the camera's on the dirt, because I hear, hey, Kenya, what's up? Hey, Kenya, how you doing? What you doing out here?
Oh, no. No, Kenya.
Can I get you a Coke?
Oh, no.
Kenya, did you want something to drink?
I'll never live that down, ever.
I'm going to hear you sing. Singing in the background, that was it.
Okay.
I am distracted very easily.
No, you are distracting, okay? You are distracting. And so when you the first time, we said, can we park up here? Oh, no, that's just for the people and the crew. You got to park, you know, three parking lots away. So by the time we came back again, I said, can we please, it's raining, can we park up here? They go, oh, no, you can't park. Oh, wait a minute, is that Kenya in there? Hey, Kenya.
Can you
hear me?
Yes, yeah. Oh, my God.
Here, how do you know her? Right here. I'm telling you, if you want Donnie, Blair, if you guys are going on a tour somewhere and you want some, you need a tour manager, Kenya.
All right. I have a friend I take out of town with me like that. She's like the real life version of Pocahontas, and she just has this long hair. And everyone's just, like, trying to talk to her and figure out what's going on. I'm like, hey, you're supposed to be helping me in my bags. What are you doing? And like, well, these seven guys just followed me in here. But I'll tell you what, though. I have a lot more luck getting the younger men's attention these days. That's the weird thing. There's, like, the 20 to 30-year-olds. I mean, as long as they're a little bit younger than me, they're like, hey, what's up, Miss Blair? And I'm like, wait, I could be your mother. I mean, I would have been like a teenage mom. I would have been a
You're
teenage
not,
mom.
Are you?
No, not anybody's mother at all. Thank God.
Oh, by the way,
I've got a 33-year-old child I'm dealing with right now. So,
Blair, but you get on TV and you turn your behind around and show off. So, what do you think? They're mesmerized.
I know. I mean, it's the funniest thing. There was actually a cop at the last show. He was just hired there for security. And I didn't make him laugh the whole show. And then, like right before the end, he just, like, let it go. And he goes, I was trying to be serious because I was on my job, but I couldn't handle that last one. the whole night he's trying to tell me how he's trying to be a UFC fighter, just the cop stuff as his day job. And I'm like, oh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, I'm 21 years old. I was like, okay, well, I could still have had you in junior high, so. I'm gonna go. I do have to go. I have to jump off of here. It's time for me to take my antibiotics.
Okay, wait. I got a couple of messages for you. Hang on. I need you about 10 more minutes, and you can just be quiet because we got a couple of commercials to do. And if you could just
no
just
problem.
Because you're the star. Okay, but also David Hurley, who is a poet and an author, he always messages in his questions, and he says has Blair ever considered trying out for Last Comic Standing? I explored her videos on YouTube. She's got great stuff.
Oh, I did. I actually had a Lost Comic. I'm all British now. I had a Last Comic Standing audition with this last round with people that got out with Julie Scoggins and Mia and I'm trying to think of people you might have seen on TV. This last one was on TV. I did not have a great audition that day. I will admit it wasn't my. It happens. I mean, you can't do your best audition every time. I've had so many audition opportunities. I'm very, very grateful. I'm 4 years in, so I don't know anybody that was as new as me that got to audition, so I'll take that as, like, just a learning experience. But I do appreciate that he thought that I was good. Please do keep stalking me online. Instagram, Twitter, Periscope, Facebook.
Okay, and I've got three more messages for you. So, Blair, all you have to do – oh, by the way, Lauren Oliver says he – He was glad to call in, but he said that a bear attacked the cell tower, so it kept going in and out. And that's why he had to call back once because of the bear. He said, it's Saskatchewan, for the love
problems.
Of Pete. What do you expect?
Yeah.
Okay.
Saskatchewan problems.
All right, well, David Hurley says, nice, well, maybe in the future, the time would be better. Okay, so why don't you just rest your throat for just a minute while Donnie and Kenya and I handle a little business. Donnie, I know a lot of people come to Madame Perry, not just for all the cool people I know, like Blair Nice and famous BFF Kenya, but also because a lot of people come to Madame Perry because they want advice.
Yeah, that's what I heard. I heard Madame Perry knows people who can solve any problem.
Yes,
that's
and
right.
I promise them all anonymity, so go ahead.
Well, you call a musician. All the corny musician jokes, how you become a millionaire playing music, you know, you start with $2 million.
Right.
Yeah.
Or two guys walking down the road, one just got paid and the other was a musician. Yeah.
Yes, right.
All right. So what can I help you with, baby?
Money. Yeah.
So money. Well, my beloved Donnie Fiku, how's your math?
We don't talk about that.
Okay. I want you to repeat after me. Repeat after me. Math equals money.
Math equals money.
All right, Kenya. Yeah. Everybody, math equals money.
Math equals money.
Math equals money.
This is where you're going to
and
begin. What does it matter? That's where you begin to maximize your financial potential. There's a website I just found out about. It's called www.mathequalsmoney.com, and they will assist you in multiplying your money.
Oh, yeah. How much?
Well,
really?
Right now, it's on sale for the low price, the very low price of $15.99. It purchases the M3, which is Multiple Money Manual. God, that's what I need. The Multiple Money Manual, which pays for itself in less than a month and begin growing your money. They swear it's no gimmicks, just practical information at your fingertips waiting to be put to use. And while you're on this website, you can at Math Equals Money, you can take advantage of their information-packed ebook of the same name, Math Equals Money, for only $4.99 to conquer your fear of math and begin to utilize math to your advantage.
All right.
I need that.
The thing is, they have an ebook, Math Equals Money. It's the home with the most affordable quality mathematical tutoring delivered in a real world context, which helps to make math not only understandable but fun to learn at the same time.
Wow.
That sounds cool. Yeah, when I think of math, I think of those stupid word problems, like if a train leaves Chicago heading to New Orleans at 100 miles an hour and the conductor's drunk and dances naked to Lady Gaga, you know, what time will the train pass through St. Louis?
And you're thinking, who cares, right?
6 miles to Chicago.
Yeah.
We got a full tank of gas, half a pack of cigarettes, it's dark, and we're wearing sunglasses.
Hit it.
Yeah, that was Jake and Elwood trying to help you out there. I'm doing the best I can with people on this budget, okay? Well, I'm totally with you. Conductor drunk, naked to Gaga, train leaving, going here. I can dig it too, bro. But let me tell you, MathEqualsMoney.com has free math secrets that will help take the stress away from math, as well as free articles designed to motivate and stimulate thought. So visit MathEqualsMoney.com. And begin the journey toward financial freedom and mathematical mastery.
All right.
Easy
right
for
on.
You to say.
Yeah. Math equals money. Math equals
math
money.
Equals
I'm going to check
money.
That out.
Math equals money.
Definitely
right.
Going to check that.
Okay, good.
All right.
Cool. Hey, what about you, Kenya? What's on your nerves tonight? We're letting Blair rest her throat right now, okay? So,
Ryan,
Kenya, what's up?
Ryan's going to tell me everything I'm doing wrong with my Twitter.
Uh-oh.
I'm listening to you guys, and he's sitting here critiquing my Twitter followers. So I'm listening to both things at once.
See, she's multi-talented.
There's nothing wrong with following Blake Griffin. He is a very talented basketball player.
There you go.
What's that got to do with tweeting?
Okay.
All right, Kitty, what's on your nerves tonight?
Okay, first of all, I wanted to call in, even though Donnie's voice has just, like, stole my heart, I am like, woo-hoo. I actually, this is going to be funny, because I actually called to tell you that I'm getting married.
Woo! Wow.
What?
Or fashion.
Yeah.
That's right. You don't congratulate. Do you know this? You don't congratulate the bride. You congratulate the groom and you felicitate the bride, which means you say best
wishes.
That's
right.
Because if you say congratulations to the bride, it sounds like, well, you got one.
Yay, you finally tricked one. Yay.
Yay, it worked.
You lassoed one in.
Yay.
Oh, that's wonderful. Tell us all about it.
Okay, thank you. Well, I'm excited. Even though I'm feeling the need to hire an assistant, there's so much to do. I mean, the planning, the sharing, the details with everyone, invitations, RSVPs. I've got a fun job, but it's a full-time job.
Well,
and I'm nervous.
It is a full-time job, just like writing the script was. But you know what? That's just a beginning.
Hey, stick to the script.
I'm doing what I can, Blair.
Hey, I didn't get a copy.
I emailed you.
Thank God you, Blair, thank God you didn't, because we are not sticking to it right now.
That's life in the big time, boys and girls. All right. Swingers, hep cats, and zeal girls, all right? Well, you know what? That's just the beginning, Kenya, because then you've also got to worry about, I know you're going to have out-of-town guests, where they're going to be. Oh, no, that's your one. Go ahead. I think you're out-of-town guests.
I do have to worry about lodging for out-of-town guests and getting all the info around to everybody in my city, directions to everywhere, the registry. You got to help me, Madam Perry. You know people.
You're darn skippy, I do. Well, on both counts, it is a full-time gig, and I know people. So I want you to write this down.
Okay.
eWedding.com. eWedding.com. It's going to be that as well as Matthew Goes Wedding. It's going to be on my this page. It's going to be on my Madam Perry's Facebook page. But eWedding.com.
Hold on,
they
Ryan,
provide
eWedding.com.
eWedding.com. Everybody.
We're dropping a hint.
There you go.
They provide, dig this, premium personalized wedding websites for couples getting married. Couples can customize their websites to match their wedding theme, and they get SMS text notifications when guests RSVP. They share your relationship timeline. They can upload your special song to play while guests visit your site, and so much more.
So eWedding can make a website that does all of that? Can I afford that?
Honey, it's 100% free.
What? eWedding.com is free?
Wait,
definitely,
what?
Me, amiga. And
what did you say, Donnie? Jump in there.
What?
Yeah,
no, you're
what?
You just back up too.
We will catch your attention.
It's on their website.
Wow.
This is free. Here's what they do. You have the website for your wedding. They have a little bit about you and all your pictures and stuff. If they have things on the wedding, okay, where to get lodging, directions to it, places to eat, and when people can do their RSVPs there, and they send a message to you or a text. It's everything you could possibly need. It's like having an assistant. And let me tell you what.
Wow.
I'm going to read you a couple of things from their I'm going to read you from their satisfied customers with the comments that they've made. One person. I haven't read it. Corinne and John said, my eWedding experience has been absolutely amazing. I love how we can customize every aspect of our wedding website, including the website URL. They provide excellent customer service and quick to offer assistance. With all the stressful decision-making that planning a wedding brings, choosing eWedding was one of the best and easiest decisions I've ever made. Thank you, eWedding. And that's from Corinne and John. And just to show what kind of cool people they are, I've also got a testimony from another couple, Kevin and Dylan. And Kevin and Dylan were very happy with the service and accessibility. They say, we're what you might call a non-traditional couple, and we're having a non-traditional wedding, to say the least. And we visited other places and cringed at the layout. But they even gave their Earl Dilvin, you know, Dylan and Kevin, their name mashed together like a brangelina. Their Earl was Dilvin. It's been hashtagged and made its way into all the wedding communications, save the dates, invitations, party favors, napkins, etc. And it makes it easy for their guests because they can check on their computers when they're at work, you know, and not waste their home time doing it. And so, yes, eWedding.com. Check it out, and I'm going to have the information here. And by the way, you know, speaking of non-traditional weddings, I'm going to have to get this in. Blair has something. I've seen Blair on stage, and I've seen her in videos, and she talks about there's a way, another way, to make your mother mad without getting piercings or tattoos. How is that? What is that, Blair? Blair, you wrote
she's
it.
She's laughing.
It up.
I'm laughing.
She's
I'm
laughing.
Because I was
she's
like,
got the
how
best
are you
laugh.
Doing with this? You can date a black person. Black woman. You can embrace your inner mocha sexual.
Your inner mocha sexual.
Yes. Guess who's coming to dinner? And guess who's having a heart attack? You will also increase the number of speeding tickets you get, and your credit score will drop. But you cannot use the N-word just because you're dating a black person, or you will get stabbed.
That's right.
Did you say stabbed?
Clarify that. Don't even try it when they're not around. We can still hear.
That's right.
But Ryan, do you have any input on that?
Yeah, don't use that word.
That's right, Ryan. Good guy, good guy.
Thanks, Ryan. Good job there. And
that's
thanks for coming in.
That's my future fiance.
And so how did your mother name you Blair? Is that a family name?
Oh, she's an horrible person. I almost called her something else.
She's
no, it was
horrible.
Yeah, she's the worst. I love her. She's the worst and the best. She's a master of the mother's guilt. So she will be there to support me and give me all the hugs and supports I need. And then the next minute she'll be like, okay, I'm going to be a grandmother when? All right. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Yeah, she's got it down. Your mom is good.
Very, very proud to tell everybody, like, we were Bed Bath & Beyond, and she was like, my daughter is, and she has her own show, and she was on TV. And I was like, thanks, Mom. I was like, yeah, better be doing something since you went to George Washington University and doing nothing with that degree. It's like, in the same breath. Look at how young she looks. She's only 32 years old. She looks amazing. And I'm like, yeah. I go, I ain't got any grandchildren yet, though. I'm like, all right, Mom. Okay. Get it.
Mom, that's why I look so good.
The early
you know,
80s, for her, she wanted a Blake, a Brent, a Blair, or a Blaine. She was on that. Like, my dad was Basil, and she was Brenda, and she was just kind of on, like, let's keep it in the white-sounding B family. I don't know. And she was convinced that I was going to be a boy because of the way I was sitting in her stomach. It's a lot of Caribbean superstition, but turns out that was just my butt turned up because I sleep on my stomach. My butt and I came out a girl, and my dad's like, good, now we can name her Elizabeth, like after my mother. And she goes, nope, still going to go with Blair, going to put a Y in there. That makes it a girl's name. Boom. And I'm like, no. An E at the end makes it a girl's name. A Y makes it confusing and difficult forever. So I love her to death, but I mean, every time I have any modicum of success and put it on Facebook, she goes, don't forget, you're buying me a house with an endless pool. I'm like, okay, Mom, I get it.
I get it.
She wants to make sure she doesn't get forgotten. So I love her to death, but yeah, she drives me crazy.
Too cute.
Yeah, you take her. You take her.
And I have my own, but thank you.
You can take her. She's coming on mom vacation. She's going to visit you and tell you everything that's wrong with your life in like 3 minutes.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know about that.
Yeah,
I know Kenya's parents, but I'll tell you what. My mother, you know, I didn't get to go to college, so I went late, got my degree late in journalism. My family never said a doggone thing about it. It was kind of like, when I graduated, you didn't graduate, did you? Well, actually, I did. Oh, well, how nice for you. And did I tell you about El Charro after church? Yeah, I don't like El Charro because I hate men. And it just went on to some other stuff, and that was all that was ever said. So then, but anytime I met something with her at around people she knows or people at church, like there was a speaker at the women's dinner, and she goes, I want you to meet her. She has 2 degrees in nursing. You know, she has degrees where you have to learn how to do stuff, not just write things down.
Okay, that's pretty good, but I can beat what that was one comment Brenda said. I had just gained a little weight because I stressed my old job was corporate, and I was just a lot of stress. And I said, Mom, these pants make me look fat. And she said, Honey, you do not look fat for someone who's had a baby.
And you're like, what? I don't have a baby.
Exactly. I was like, wait, so if I had a kid, I look all right, but if I don't have a kid, I'm chunky? What are you trying to say, Brenda? No, she's always been the outspoken brass one of the family, so no one was surprised that I ended up going into a career stand-up. They're like, she's just like you. Like,
there
yeah.
you go. Aww.
Aww.
Too cute.
I love my mom. She's great.
I can tell.
I'll put her in a nice home, but... It'll be a nice one.
With a pretty view. With a very pretty view.
She thinks she's living out. She thinks she's going to live on my property. She's like, this could be our mother-in-law house. I'm like,
Hello? Hey, well, I am going to be...
I'll have an assistant screening my phone calls. It's your mother. Yeah, okay.
Tell her I'm busy.
Yeah, is that a 7th call today? If you check it's an emergency, fine. If not, I'll see her in like 3 hours. Literally spent all of my phone minutes on her. Well, we don't count minutes anymore, but still, it's all friends.
It's all her.
It is. Oh, my God. When I lived in D.C., the D.C. sniper was going around, like my sophomore year. Actually, it was a rough time. I had September 11th and the D.C. sniper during my college career.
Wow.
She called me, and she was like, Blair. And I was like, what, Mom? I'm going to class. She was like, walk in zigzag pattern.
What?
What? Like, they can't shoot you if you're walking in zigzag patterns. Don't walk down the street. I was like, I don't think that's how snipers work, but okay. Thank you. She's always looking out for me, but she's a little crazy. She's a lot crazy.
There you go.
Well, it was so great to be entertained in your salon, Madam Perry.
Oh, thank you. And by the way, I've been offline for about 3 minutes. I lost connection. So thank you. I'd like to come back in on a compliment. And I hope you guys kept the show going.
We did. You're making fun of my mother. It was great.
I was trying to trying to reconnect and then trying to text Kenya at the same time, going, Kenya, I lost connection, but my thumbs keep hitting the wrong thing. So anyway.
Dude, I'm sorry. Actually, Madam Perry, Blair and I and Donnie, we were having like this moment that was so funny.
And you disconnected me, Kenya? Is that what it is? Is this all about
no,
you?
No, you never, your text never came through, but
I know.
If it had, I probably would have been laughing and missed it, is
yeah,
what I'm
yeah.
saying.
Oh.
Yeah.
Because I was laughing at this mother story. That was hilarious.
Oh, yeah, you have to listen to the end of that back.
Yeah, really.
Guys, you've got to go see Blair live in person, and we got to, and we're going to put her on our tour bus we were talking about. When I get the Kickstarter for the Madam Perry Salon Touring Roadshow.
Yeah.
But you can also
yeah.
see Blair
right.
on, you can see her on YouTube. You can find her on Facebook. Okay. Go to her website. I'm going to list stuff for all the people that are on the show so we can all stalk one another.
Yes.
Thank you so much.
Find me. My name is so rare. I'm so blessed. I'm going to go ahead and thank my mom for that. It's such a weird name that there's no other Blair Niasses out there. So you just write that to Google and everything you need will pop up.
Hey,
there you go. Mom knew.
And this was not like the last time we were together, or the only time that you and I were together in person.
Oh, my God. That was crazy.
I just told Kenya about that today, so.
Yeah. first time at the Comedy Zone, I thought I saw a domestic, I still quote you. You're like, I thought that's why they call it domestic abuse, because they could keep it at home.
It's domestic abuse. It's called domestic. That's home. That's why you're supposed to do it at home. So, no. And the thing is, we have another friend, Joy Barge, who's on the radio. She's a DJ and announcer, and she does traffic in different areas. So she told me, she said, I will pitch when I'm doing the traffic in Charlotte that afternoon. I will also add in, hey, my friend Jennifer Perry is going to be at the Comedy Zone in Charlotte. You know, if you're there, drop in, say hello. So that. But then we're hanging outside. We think we see a domestic violence, and one of the guys is going, hey, that's not cool. Don't hit her. Then we all go up there, and this girl's
yeah,
had an overdose. She died. She died. We saw her die in front of us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What? Yeah, this is a good message to send out to young ladies. If you ever get depressed, don't do a speedball of heroin and cocaine to get back to that. You're going to be the only one to pay for that. You're going to lose your job and possibly your life.
And possibly, yeah.
And he's just going to be, like, standing there in the parking lot not knowing what to tell the EMT. Like,
not knowing what to do. And we watched her turn blue. She was, you know, white girl with blonde hair. We watched the skin turn blue.
Yeah.
Called EMT. And then they come back. You know, they get her. They brought her back. The technicians did. I mean, she was totally blue. He kept on doing the CPR. So then, after that, I get in my car to leave. And then my friend Joy Barge on the radio, who said that, she calls me up at that point and says, well, because, you know, if you know comedy, you know this term. She goes, well, how did it go? Did you kill?
Oh, my God.
Because, you know, that's a good thing, comedy. If you did good, you killed them. But if you do bad, I die. I died up there, but no, I killed.
Yes, it's always about death in comedy. What does that mean?
It is death.
Really? <comedy. laughs>
It really is. Most people are afraid of something of get on stage doing comedy than death. So then Joy calls me at the and I'm waiting for the fire truck to leave, and she said, "Well, did you kill?" And I go, "Okay, again, not my fault."
She's like, "Wait, what?" Yeah, that was crazy. We were there with Grandma Lee. That was my first time at the Comedy Zone in Charlotte. And I witnessed, that was a crazy, crazy day. I was like, I can't believe this is happening. But, yeah, she made it, so that's good.
Yeah, see, happy ending, see?
Only Kenya would have tiptoed away because I had something to do with.
No, I would have went up there and had a long talk with her about mixing all that stuff. I would have. I would have had to have a little heart-to-heart with her and let's talk about, you know, positive things in life.
Yeah, I don't know if she was actually trying to kill herself or if she just was trying to, like, escape, but that doesn't usually ever end well.
Really?
It's not going to make the guy want you back.
you've drugged
to the point of lethal dosage, I think I'm more attracted to you now.
Really?
Well, listen, that's my segue into things ending well. And so why don't you end well? You are the creator, producer, and host of the show.
Yes, of the Almost Famous Comedy Show, which shows every month at the Charlotte Comedy Zone. Here in Charlotte,
yay.
And you can find out the dates if you just go to cltcomedyzone.com, and you'll just see, they move me around a lot, so it's wherever there's space for my little dog and pony show, but we get local comics to be opening acts, and we get nationally touring headliners, and I am always your hostess at the mostest. So every month, that is the Almost Famous Comedy Show.
And will you come into Atlanta anytime soon?
I will be, actually. I'm not sure the first I'll be where I'll be performing stand-up there, but I'll actually be doing some acting. I'll be doing some background work, hopefully some feature stuff. I have some friends that are working in the film industry down there, so I'm going to try to sneak my way in the back door.
That's good.
It's a place
but I'll
to
probably,
do
when I'm down there, I'll probably perform at Laughing Skull. Everything is updated on my website, BlairNias.com. And every week I say, where's Blair being funny this week? On my Facebook fan page. That's Blair is Seriously Funny. And like I said, all this stuff
well,
you can find
when
you're Googling
this,
me.
And the fan page, all of your fan page sites. And also, thank you, Dee. And we'll be having you here and play your, and we'll be playing your music on A Little Late Music with Madam Perry. Kenya, you have your new
yes.
relationship show that comes on late Friday nights where you talk about people cheating and then you go to their houses and call them out. And you have your children. Ooh, the words on the street, Kenya. And then Kenya, cheater cop. And then you have your children's show, The Looking Glass with Kenya Coburn, on Saturdays at noon, where she has some fantastic authors, children's authors and musicians. And
yes.
Also, we had author Lauren Oliver, who's going to be a guest on here soon. And we had author Carrie Dunn call in and author David Hurley to message in. So
yay.
Thank you all for listening and everybody else. And thank you, Blair Nias, one of the funniest women I have ever known.
Yes,
and
no,
we
yes,
love
yes.
you, and you're brilliant, and you're on the TV show Laughs on Fox. We think you're pretty
yes.
fantastic.
Yes, thank you so much. I appreciate it. I've enjoyed my time
right.
here. I'll be sure I check back in, too. It's a fun show.
Jennifer, can
right.
I say one thing? Honey, I was just kidding. I know you didn't ask me to marry you yet. I'm just pretending right now. I'm reading the ad.
Oh, no. I like what he's doing.
I wrote the script. I need a straight woman for the bit for the ad for the client. Okay, for eweddings.com.
Eweddings.com.
Somewhere in Baltimore, she's wetting his pants or something. I don't know.
He's in Baltimore. Yeah. Blair, I enjoyed meeting you. You are a riot. I love
you. Oh, thank
you
so much. Yay. I'm going to steal your BFF, Zephyr.
Okay, you can share
no.
her with me. You can share her. You can share her.
Okay.
No, she
okay,
wants
we'll
you,
share.
Kenya, not me.
No.
No.
Kenya,
she said, I want your BFF.
You need to know things before you
I feel like I'm competing
well,
now.
She said... She said, Jennifer, I want your BFF. She wants you, not me. And I got to tell you, let me warn you, she's a blonde trapped in the body.
Everybody says that. I really am. Sometimes I really am so blonde, and it is so sad.
I know. I know. Trust me, I know the struggle. I know
what
the struggle.
What did they tell you, Blair?
If I looked the way I sounded, nobody would have any problem with me. They're just like, what's going on here? This didn't come out right. They sent you down. They sent you down wrong.
No, we are. They sent you down
yeah, I got
wrong.
I have a Valley accent. I was born in Boston, and I live in the South. They don't know what's going on. It's a big mistake. Oh, my God.
I love
All
it.
Right, I'm out, guys. Thank you so much.
Good night.